As we've been going through the I Am statements of Christ, there's seven metaphors, and we save this one for today, I Am the Bread of Life, because it's Communion Sunday. But we see ones we've already seen, I am the light of the world, I am the door of the sheep, I am the good shepherd, and now I am the bread of life. Now, when did this take place? He said this right after the feeding of the 5,000. Now, that was a miracle recorded in all four Gospels. And John's the last one written, so he assumes people are familiar with the other three. And he doesn't highlight so much the miracle, although he does mention it, and the 12 baskets taken up afterwards. But he talks about the next day. What happened the next day? The people went home. Some of them came back, and they wanted to see Jesus again. They were looking for Jesus. They were seeking him. Why? Why were they seeking Jesus? What was the reason? And we could even ask the question, did they seek him for the right reason, or should there have been a better purpose for seeking him? Let's read these. Read four verses. I'll read 26, you read 27, and the same for 28 and 29. I'll repeat so that it gets on the microphone. John chapter 6. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Consider that. He said, you're working for food. You're seeking me not because you saw that I did these miraculous signs and that you can get from me something that you can't get from anyone else. You're seeking me just because you ate and your bellies are full. You care only about your bellies. You should be seeking something greater than that. Now, he said, don't work only for food that perishes. Is he saying never work for food that perishes? No. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, if someone doesn't work, don't let him eat. Man was made to work, and work precedes the fall in the garden. It gets complicated after sin, but yes, we have to eat. We have to work in order to eat. But he's saying there's a food that you need more than you need the food for your body. And that's what you need to seek first. And they asked, he said, so you need to do the work of God. And they said, well, what is it? They're thinking, what does God want us to do that will make him happy with us? And he says, this is the work that God wants you to do. What is it? What's the work that God wants us to do? Believe in him. Believe in him. And so, he says, there is food that will give you eternal life. And that food, the Son of Man, will he sell it to you? He says, the Son of Man will give it to you. And so there's food that we need, which the Son of Man will give to us. How do we get that? By believing in him. Let's read some more. Verse 30. So they said to him, what then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it's written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Did you get this? They're saying, you know, Moses fed them for 40 years in the desert. You want us to believe in you? Why don't you do something that makes us believe in you? Didn't they just see a miracle? They did. They know who he is and what he can do. They're trying to manipulate him into feeding them every day. Would people ever do that, try to manipulate God? Yeah. Sometimes even Christians try to manipulate God. We have to be careful not to do that. But he corrects them and gets them on track. Look what he says. Read with me. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread, or the real bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Okay. They said, "Lord, always give us this bread." And he said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." This is very similar. Remember in chapter 4, he's talking to the Samaritan woman at the well that Jacob had given to Joseph. And he says, "I have living water. Give me that water, and then I won't have to come every day here at this well." Were they talking about the same kind of water? No. Did she need to return there and get water for her body? Yes. But that day she received something that gave life to her soul. And most of the village believed in her. And so he's doing the same kind of thing here. He's using a metaphor. He's saying, "You will never hunger and you'll never thirst." Is he saying your body will never hunger and thirst? No. He's talking about the spirit or the soul of man. What's on the inside? That's what he came to enliven. That's the thirst that he will quench, and that's the hunger that he will satisfy. Do we need any more proof that God is God? Or do we need to trust and obey him? Are we waiting on God, or is God waiting on us? Think of back into the time with Moses. This stuff came down out of heaven. Many times, I think 7 or 8 times in this chapter, it says, "Come down out of heaven. Come down out of heaven." The bread that came down out of heaven. It wasn't Moses who brought you bread down out of heaven. It was the Father. "I have come down out of heaven." And if you remember, it came down and it was on the ground and they had to collect it. What do they call it? What do they call it? What is it? What is it? They didn't know what to call it, so they called it what? Or what is it? Or as my mother used to say, "What you call it?" They didn't know what to call it. It was mysterious, but it came and it satisfied their physical needs. But it came from God and nowhere else. And Jesus is saying, "That was a picture of me." Can we have the next slide? Oh, there. For some reason, I'm not seeing this. The next one? Yeah. Let's read that. "But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." The next one. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. This is the will of the one who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but I raise it up on the last day." Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down out of heaven." The next one. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that the one one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, Jesus was born. Was that when he began? He was the eternal Word. How does John start his gospel? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus came down out of heaven. Jesus is different from you and I because he is eternal. He came down. Where did he come to? Bethlehem. What's Bethlehem mean? House of bread. Now in Arabic it's house of meat, but it's not Arabic, it's Hebrew. It's the house of bread. It's the house of bread. Isn't it ironic that Jesus came to a little town called the house of bread? The irony is older than that, because where did we first hear of Bethlehem? In the book of Ruth. Naomi and her family had to leave Bethlehem, and bread means food, by the way. It's just a way of saying food. So the house of food had no food. They were in a famine. They had to leave. They went to Moab. Their two sons got married. The husband, the father, and the two sons died. And one daughter-in-law comes back with Naomi back, and Ruth becomes a means of blessing Naomi, and she becomes the great-grandmother of whom? King David. And the Messiah is called the Son of David because he's his descendant. So, yes, we have the bread of life. And he said, the bread is my flesh. Now, Jews weren't allowed to eat pig, and they weren't allowed to eat camel. They weren't allowed to eat lobsters. And they weren't allowed. There's a lot of things they couldn't eat, right? Do you think they could eat human flesh? No. They knew he didn't mean that, but they didn't know what he did mean. Obviously, he doesn't mean you're going to eat me. But what did he mean? They did not understand. And many of them didn't care. What did they care about? They wanted food for the belly, and he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about some other kind of nourishment that nourished something else besides their body, and many of them were not interested. If it doesn't help my physical life, I don't care. They were not spiritually interested. But he goes on with this metaphor, and it gets quite, well, if you were taken literally, it would be quite horrific. Let's read. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, abides in me, and I in him. Now, he's not being literal, but they don't know what he means. Another time, he said, I'm sorry, let's go to the next verse. When he said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, he said, I will what? I will abide in you, and you will abide in me. If you eat me and drink me, I will be in you, right? Of course. He's using the metaphor. But then he says, also, you will be in me, and I will be in you. In John 14, he says this about the Father. Let's read these two verses. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father, abiding in me, does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. This is what he's referring to. The connection that Jesus has with the Father is the connection that we will have with Jesus. Now, in what way was the Father in Jesus and Jesus in the Father? Believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Was it physically? No. But they are one because they're the Trinity, but they're different persons, but they are so vitally connected, they are inseparable. And here we are. Go ahead. I wanted that last one. Sorry. Jesus is in us. We're in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father, and the Father's in Jesus. Why did Jesus come to earth? He came to earth, and he became like us so that we could become like him, right? Now, we'll never be eternal or infinite. We'll always remain creatures. We're creatures. We won't be like the infinite creator. But we can actually become children of God and have God's life inside of us, somehow living inside of us and giving us life. And all through the book of John, he talks about this. God inside of us, Christ inside of us, the Holy Spirit inside of us. Jesus was living in total dependence upon his Father. Sometimes we have a hard time understanding that. We think it's like Clark Kent and Superman, that he's never really human. He just pretends to be human. But Jesus' humanity is real. And when he was on the earth, he lived in dependence upon his Father. That's why people would see him and they saw how human he was. During a storm, he's exhausted, sleeping in the back of a boat, pitching up and down during a storm when everybody's screaming. He was really, really tired. I don't know if you've been that tired, but I think we'd have to be pretty tired. He was very tired. His humanity was real. He lived in total dependence upon his Father. And so we're told that we live in the same way in our dependence upon Jesus. So he's saying, you need food, right? If you don't believe it, we can try an experiment. Between now and next week, don't eat anything. Day or night, not like this fasting where you fast during the day and feast during the night. No, all 7 days, don't eat anything. How will you feel at the end of the week if you're still walking? You'll feel very, very tired, very, very weak, right? And of course, you can't go that long without drinking because we need water more than we need even food. But yes, so you need food every day, right? And what do we get from food? Nourishment, energy. Do you enjoy food? Yeah, we enjoy it too, right? And so food is a very good picture of something we need all the time. And if we don't think so, just stop for a while and you'll be reminded, right? And he said, so you need me, I'm your food. You need me, how often? All the time, every day. That's how much we need Christ. Let's go to verse 57, okay. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. Well, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me will also live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Why did they eat that and die? Because it was food for the body, for the physical food. And this physical specimen before you is not going to make it into the kingdom of God, right? He said, flesh and blood will not make it into the kingdom of God. It's going to have to be transformed, which actually now I'm looking forward to because I'm way past my prime. And even then, it wasn't that great. Now, he's going to make it new. He's going to make it new. But we need, every one of us, needs this life that only is the life of God, that only God can give. Now, it's amazing how God did that. He sent the Son of God, the second person, the Word of God, into the womb of a young woman, a virgin, born in what city? The house of bread, okay. Grew up, and he had one purpose. He taught us, he showed us many things, but his purpose was to be that perfect sacrifice, the one that takes away sin. One of our songs, Sin and Shame. He took away both of those things. And we, by believing in him, by coming to him, we have that food. The one who comes to me will never hunger. The one who believes in me will never thirst. God provides the food. But you have to eat it, right? Ever feed anybody? Yeah, if you've had babies, you've fed them, right? Because they can't feed themselves. And even when people get sick, sometimes they get sick, they can't feed themselves, and you have to put the food up to their mouth. Or even they can have a feeding tube or something like that. So it's possible for someone not to be able to feed themselves. But even with a baby, right, you can put the food up there, but sometimes, well, they don't take it. Every person has to take it. Jesus offers himself, but each person has to take it. And so the question is, have you received the bread that the Son of God gives? In John chapter 4, again with the woman at the well, the woman just now learned that he was the Messiah. She's running back to her village to tell everyone in the village. The village does come out and listen to him. He stays with them 2 days, and the whole village puts their faith in him, of these Samaritans, these half-Jews. But while she's leaving, the disciples are coming back. He had sent them away. He sent them to buy food. He sent all of them to buy food so they wouldn't be there messing up his dialogue with this woman. And so they come back with food, and they say, "Here, Master, eat, eat." And he said, "I don't need to eat. I have food that you do not know about." Read the next verse, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work." So how did Jesus feed on the Father? How did Jesus get his life from the Father? What kind of energy or power did Jesus get from the Father? And how did he get it? He said, "This is my food. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work." So you could call this trust and obey. Trust, what's the obey? Okay, and so believe that God has given you the food. If your arms aren't broke, go ahead, bring it to your mouth. And then what? And then eat it. Obeying is eating it. Trusting and obeying, they go together. Come to Jesus, look to Jesus, believe in Jesus, and believing works out into obeying. So bread is food. It gives us energy. It gives us enjoyment. You could say fuel and fun. We need Jesus, and we enjoy Jesus. That's what food is, right? Those two things. And we think of communion. We are not receiving Christ physically, are we? We're not receiving Christ physically. What we're doing is we are receiving Christ as we have been by faith. And just like you have to eat every day, don't you need to renew your faith every day? And so we're doing a physical reminder And we're doing it as a group, like a family eating together, although this is a little bit hard to see as a family meal because we have such small portions. But we're eating together, and we're reminding ourselves that Jesus is our life, that Jesus gave his life so that we could have our sins forgiven and we could be brought into his family. And we are in him and he is in us. Let's read this together. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. So when you trust the work of Christ on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and you're trusting that, you're believing that, you're following Christ, you are eating Christ. You're consuming Christ, and that's what we're going to do here. He says, I won't cast you out. I won't lose you. I will give you eternal life, and on the last day, I will raise you up. Jesus died for us. Jesus lives for us. Jesus is in us, and we are in him. Let's sing this song, and then after we sing it, stay seated, and we'll have the people come forward to bring communion.
The Lord calls each of us to